Yes.
A deal breaker by
the way. Let's get started this August 1st. It is August already. I don't know if anybody here has been ready for it. I don't know what happened to June or July. Certainly wasn't much like summer. Welcome everybody here. Solid Waste Commission meeting. Ready to go here. I'd like to welcome you all and go down to the roll call. Simone was going to be late. Who else are we missing?
Lauren, Jason, and Karen.
And I don't believe we heard from any of them that they would be absent, so we came to get back and confirm that. But I think they all should be here or on their way.
Yeah, I had a question for Darren.
Okay.
Let's take a look at the minutes that we were provided. And is there any? I didn't know we did this much work. But Jim figured it out, I guess, or you did. Thank you very much. And any corrections, additions? Shall we
move for approval?
Move for approval. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Pass. Continuing on. We have updates. I guess we can get started with, and we can have round robin and introductions. Let's do that. Ken, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was trained as a forester, Oregon State. I worked for the Forest Service for a while. I came into Vancouver after several years. Started doing different kinds of jobs. Worked at the for the county, basically the engineering section. And I'm married, two children. Actually, they're not children anymore. They're old. But anyway, and that's about it.
Glad to have you on board. I went to the University of Montana, and we had quite a forestry school in Montana. We always said we had three sexes, men, women, and foresters. Because the foresters, you couldn't tell the guys and the gals, but they had all these clothes on in Montana, you know. Always something.
I can tell the difference, but that's go ahead.
There you go. Okay. Tim?
Tim Kraft, representing Southeast Clark County. I'm a civil engineer, retiring civil engineer.
Well, congratulations.
Working my way out, surely. Gradually, but surely. And I've been in Clark County about 25 years.
My name is Kyle Potter. I'm obviously new to the SWAC board here. I'm a firefighter for the city of Portland. I was born and raised here in Clark County and still live here, obviously. And got a wife and six-year-old twins who keep me very busy, but happy to be here.
Great. And I'm Rich McConaughey. I've been with the city of Vancouver for 21 years in solid waste and was appointed to the board 3 years, the commission 3 years ago. We had had a city council person that was representative, and they felt that since they're an elected official, they should probably more have a staff person. So I've been doing that since then. It's something that will be renewed here sort of shortly. Let's see, I'm married, I have two kids. They made me old. But enjoy being on the SWAC.
Thanks, Rich. I'm Alan Jessica, the leader of the team here, and have been for quite a while, and enjoy your company. I'm a retired school teacher and military reserve officer and widowed and with two stepchildren, which like yours are adults, and now we have great grandchildren on the way or around, and enjoy the extra activities that the Solid Waste Commission affords, and I'd like to encourage all of you to do some of the things that you can do on the green team here. Steve?
I'm Steve Willis. I worked for 16 years for the city of San Jose. The last four, I ran the solid waste program for the city of San Jose as the acting deputy director. And I moved to Battleground about 9 years ago. And we bought 5 acres up there, and we like it. So, and we like that there's no state income tax.
And you're a hybrid.
Among other things, yes. All true.
Terrence?
Do you want to hear from us?
Sure.
All right. Well, I was born in 1981 in Louisiana. I am the solid waste program manager here at Clark County, and I'm approaching just about 2 years. A year from whenever Kim got me cookies last year. Just a hint that the cookies were really great last year on my 1 year anniversary. Kindergarten through high school at the Battleground School District. Grew up in this county. Currently live over in Portland, where I'm really glad for the state of Washington not having an income tax, but Portland still takes it from me anyway. So. But yeah, I've been here for about 2 years, but grew up in this county.
Kim?
I'm Kim Harlan. I'm the operations group of our solid waste team. I was born in California, but grew up here and called this home. And I've got a 10-year-old kiddo and a parent.
Hey. I'm Amber McKnight. I have lived here all my life. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter who's making the mold. And a stinky cat, and I've been with a solid waste for a little over a year, and I'm the office assistant, the paper pusher. I'm here to take notes and try and refrain from doing so when somebody makes a good joke.
Might be more interesting sometimes.
Thank you. Well, if you make a bad joke, she'll take it.
That's good. Okay, updates. Let's start with Travis with solid waste.
Yeah, so from a solid waste program perspective, we're in the middle of a lot of the things that we have been updating you on. We're either in the middle of a lot of these projects or are in between iterations of the projects. And it is also, you know, time of year, lots of vacations, school is out. We have some busy things. But I'll give you an overview of some of the high-level work that's been going on in our programs. From a Green Neighbors position, we just finished our Recycled Arts Festival. Happened a couple of weeks ago. It was successful. The weather was beautiful. From a public perspective, went off without a hitch. Lots of attendees. I don't believe we've gotten any final numbers. But as usual, that was a well-attended event. And an ever-increasing opportunity for us to learn how to engage with the public more. So I think there was a lot of great things that happened there. The Natural Gardens tour happened, and our AmeriCorps just presented on that, but I think there were...
There's a lot.
There were a lot of participants, and again, that Natural Gardens tour is a voluntary tour or a self-guided tour of gardens that people have offered up that are natural yard care or demonstrate natural yard care. And it's a self-guided tour that people take. And I want to say the number was in the hundreds of people or 100 people that possibly. And thousands of individual visits. So that was a successful program, just one of the feather in the cap of our AmeriCorps right as they stepped out the door. She wasn't able to stick around tonight, but we did hire a Green Neighbors outreach coordinator. So the person that will step in and take the reins of previously Sally Fisher's position, and then Jill, who left us to go help her husband kill snakes in Guam. And Tina comes to us from Shoreline, so just up north of Seattle, and their solid waste program. And so she just started this week, and I think jumped into the deepest end of the pool we could have given her, and it's been a great experience so far. So hopefully we'll have her come talk to meet the group. And a lot of the things that we're going to be doing will involve her, so she'll have plenty of chances to come and talk and present. Overall program stuff that are going on. AmeriCorps just wrapped up their last day yesterday, so they finished up their 10.5 month. A lot of them were out doing some of the more ongoing work out in the field, working with multifamily, working with food businesses, working with developing the Waste Busters program that we do once a year, working on developing and coordinating a lot of the stuff that goes on at the Recycled Arts Festival, working out in schools, helping doing waste audits at businesses and schools. And then the Natural Gardens Tour as well. So just a really good opportunity for some folks to come in, learn right out of college how to work, and then I think our next batch of AmeriCorps show up just learned end of October 1st. I think they start end of September, early October. So we'll have a new group of four AmeriCorps working divided up amongst our program. Green business, I don't know when the next morning blend, but I know the last one recently was at Wafer Tech, and I think that was a pretty good presentation and was well attended.
August 15th at Corwin.
August 15th at Corwin, thank you.
Yeah, Corwin Modeling. I went to the one in Wafer Tech. That was very interesting. So I would like to encourage all of us to, you know, go to those things, because it's just, it's 8 o'clock at Corwin's, though, but you have to get up a little early, but they do an excellent job.
Not sure I'm familiar with it.
Corwin, it's the Pepsi...
Morning
Blends.
I know, Corwin.
Gotcha, I was like, okay. So our green business program obviously focuses on providing technical support and certifying businesses as green businesses and meeting certain criteria. Monthly, Sarah and or her AmeriCorps, Sarah Kearns is our green business person, has Morning Blends, and it's really a chance for businesses that are doing... bright spots in the community to share what they're working on. So oftentimes it's a chance for green businesses to highlight the work that they're doing and the barriers and challenges that they overcame for other businesses. So it's really just food, coffee, beverages. You listen as a business owner or an interested person to what other businesses have done. So you know, the one that I haven't been to one in a while, the most recent was at Mighty Bowl downtown, and all of the work that they were doing into creating, reducing their environmental footprint, sustainable efforts, the actions that they're doing and the challenges and how they overcome to create a network of businesses that are seeking out information and strategies for how to do things. So it could be something from simple as large recycling programs to Frito-Lay is one of our larger green businesses, and their goal is zero waste, and they're really working towards finding ways to eliminate as much waste as they can responsibly. So. And they happen monthly. Sometimes they're at coffee shops, sometimes they're at business, large businesses, small businesses. It kind of depends on moving it around in different fields of work. And so, like I said, the next one is August 15th. Is that what you said?
Yes.
At Corwin.
Yeah, 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning. So.
I've already told them I'd be there. And like I said, it's a good way to rub elbows with our... business people, and it's a good way to show them that, you know, we care too.
And kind of on, well, and just more program-wide stuff, we have spent the last 2 days workshopping and had a couple of other workshops related to the food project that we talked about at the previous SWAC meeting. The city will provide some more updates, but the timing was right for us as a solid waste program to sit down and talk about food waste, what the impact of food waste was in the county, and develop some strategies and a roadmap for what we are and are not going to do around food waste in the county. So we've been working with the consultants. Warren participated on behalf of SWAC, as well as his background in food and farming, participated in an early interview process and an early workshop around where is everyone as far as stakeholders on food waste in the county. And then we're taking that and internalizing it and working through a big process to develop a roadmap and a vision for what we are going to do about both preventing and processing and handling wasted food waste, edible food waste in the county. So we're in the middle of that facilitation process and workshopping out those roadmaps. And so by the time we meet next, we should have a fully vetted roadmap around food waste and wasted edible food in the county that we can share and get feedback from this group on, as well as some of our other stakeholder groups. So we're literally right in the middle of that project, and that should be wrapping up sometime at the end of this month with the roadmap. And then we'll figure out how to do the things that we said we're going to do. And who's going to be part of that process. So, the other thing that we, you know, we're waiting on is some of the actions in this food waste conversation is going on. A lot of the strategies that are out there for how we can move the dial on both preventing food waste and creating a system is a lot of legislative stuff. So there are some conversations that happened in the last legislative session and we're talking as a team about what types of things we want to get behind and how we want to work with our council as a solid waste program around. These are some things that would really be helpful for our county. If the state made certain decisions or implemented certain infrastructure or policies that kind of helped steer people or businesses or industries in a direction that we really felt like they needed to go from a waste prevention standpoint. So we're keeping all of these things on the radar for how we are going to be engaged at a legislative level, but also preparing for this group. Early on, we had talked about, well, early on in my tenure, I don't know, this has been around for a while, but early on in my tenure about getting some people that are interested in being part of that policy effort, tracking what's going on, finding what's important to this group, and then running it up the flagpole with our help to get this voice, similar to how we handled the paint take back program last year. And got, I like to think that this group single-handedly was the tipping point that got that legislation passed at the last second. But I mean, that's one opportunity that this group has to flex its muscle and get its voice shared being involved in that. So we're watching and also taking some time to talk to our legislators right now in the off season, so that give them an idea of what we're dealing with, give them an idea of the system that takes place. You know, there are 15 legislators in this county, and it would be great if they all understood when they go back to session where in priorities and how big of a problem things like plastic straws, plastic bags are, and introduce them to challenges that we're facing here that we want them to advocate for on behalf of their jurisdiction. So it'll be more informative. We're trying to figure out how to make that work, but I've gotten the go-ahead to reach out to our legislators and engage with them and bring them on board to help understand, just make sure that they are broadly understanding our system and how it works and what's going on, just a chance to show what we're doing. From an operations standpoint, we're going to be going through, a lot of you were involved in the rates conversation around recycling last year. We're in between iterations of that and trying to define the next conversation. You know, we're running up close to about a year since we made that. We started that last conversation, and so we're going to have to start that conversation again. And we're going to be a little bit more diligent on framing what the questions we ask will be and what those steps will look like. So we're just now starting to frame what that plan will look like for having that race discussion around recycling again. The local solid waste financial assistance grant, we just closed out the last cycle. And I think I shared with this group last time that we are continuing at the same funding level, and we are largely using our local solid waste financial assistance money from the Department of Ecology to fund the regional system study, as well as some contamination reduction projects that we're going to be doing in that cart tagging that we talked about. So that is signed and in process, and so we're on to the next grant cycle, which really isn't a big deal, but it just secures some funding for us moving forward. And then we are also moving forward with trying to sell a chunk of the Leitner property, which is a it's just a process. So Mike will talk about it. Well, there's the master plan. So we're just trying to figure out what we're going to do with properties that we have that we need to help support. So those are kind of the big picture updates right now. One thing I wanted to introduce, one person I wanted to introduce is another new hire. Jessica Fishberg back here is our, she is in a 2-year project position. She moved over from various roles in our outreach team and is now in a special waste project position. So I was going to give her a couple of minutes to just introduce herself and talk about what she's going to be working on. So you can come sit up here if you would like. You don't have to stand and talk or anything. You can sit at the table.
Sure. Well, about 2 weeks into my new job, but what I'm doing is basically taking a look at different special waste in our system and evaluating what gaps we might have and what opportunities we have to improve collection. So the specific wastes are small quantity generator hazardous waste, asbestos, universal waste, and batteries, and then construction demolition. So just a lot of information that I'm still sorting through, and I'm still kind of learning the right questions to ask and the right people to go to, but yeah, so you might hear from me in the future. Or
yeah, and some of the events that we do will be, you know, we have in the past in Yakult, we had some hazardous waste collection events, some medication take back events. Those will all be housed under Jessica's wheelhouse now.
And the
paint take back program that we have, but also kind of following what the legislative paint take back or the paint stewardship program or whatever legislation passed, how that will impact us and how we can make the most of it. There's potential for us to save a good amount of operations money and not having to have that program ourselves, but we want to make sure that it's done in a way that keeps the integrity of the program that we currently have in place and builds upon that. So. But yeah, so Jessica is now over in the, has moved formally into the ops side of things, but had been with the outreach team in various temporary capacities for how long?
Almost 3 years.
So yeah. Very, very familiar with our program and, beat out a lot of them.
Glad
to have
you on board. Welcome.
Thanks.
A lot of new faces, both here and in our program right now, so it's great. So. Those are all of my updates, unless there are specific questions or specific updates that anybody on the commission would like to have.
Do you want to provide that?
Yes.
Looks like Mike's been on the sun too.
Oh, yeah, I got thriving in the base condition. I do just want to make one quick clarification on the Leichner property. Travis is correct. We have to do the master plan, and ultimately, the property could be sold for some form of development, but that's all. That's it right there. So that's all we know at this point. Some of you know, the new faces are not aware of this, that we have been in about a 2-year process to develop scope of work and request a proposal to study the system and particularly take a look at the recommendations of the solid waste management plan and what it would take to implement those. The study is focusing on the financial aspects of the system. It is also looking at capital improvements that might be necessary over the next 20 years. There's a potential that the county could actually own the facilities. One of the big issues that we're looking at is the traffic and congestion issues, particularly at the central transfer station up on Highway 503. We're going to look at various options that were recommended in the plan. Those include utilizing rates as economic disincentives for them to come haul directly to the facility, potentially looking at universal collection, sometimes called mandatory collection, three particular areas: Battleground, the center, and just unincorporated urban areas of the county. It's not feasible to implement something like that out in rural areas. It's just not safe and it's not practical because there's so many private drives that abut the county roads that people, it's either not practical for to have service or it would be a long drive and literally unenforceable. So we're concentrating on those three areas. We, through the selection process, Rich and Tim were on the selection team, and we selected the firm, J.R. Miller, and they are teamed with AKS Engineering, and Chris Bell and Associates will be doing finance work. One of the issues we've got at Central as well is that there's going to be a median go up for, all the way up the highway from 107th all the way to 119th. There's going to be a stoplight at 107th at some point. So the facility's going to be a right in, right out. Back before the recession, we looked at the possibility of building a deceleration lane southbound right in, and we will be revisiting that. We did acquire some property to do that. We're not sure that we got enough to incorporate the utility easements. So the other option is just widening the throat and getting, you know, getting them off in a right in, right out fashion, sort of a island in the middle, making it impossible for them to try to turn left. Because some people will still try to turn left and go over the median, trust me. I've seen it done before. But in addition to that, we've also looked at potentially permitting an expansion at that site back in what was formerly known as the Dietrich Pit. We're evaluating, working with CRC and their engineering firm, PBS, to evaluate potential to permit that. Growth around the facility, which is primarily residential, it could be difficult to permit that facility. So we are taking a look at that, and that would allow us then to have a long queue to get the traffic off of 503 all the way to the back. And that would definitely help if we could get it done. We're working on this in conjunction with the state. So they'll be kind of guiding what the decisions are made as to what that's going to look like. They've already made it very clear if we're going to come in and ask for an expansion. We have to fix the access. So that is one of the first things we're going to do is negotiate the access improvements with WSDOT. AKS is leading that negotiation with us. They have done a lot of work in that corridor. In fact, they're doing the development across, a major development across the street. So they were, they're a local firm. They're actually their officer, 99th and 117 or 503. So they're right there. They're there. Yeah. And so they were really well qualified. A team of J.R. Miller and Associates comes with tons of experience. We had two really good firms, and the third one came in. The top two were interviewed, and it was very close, but on the solid waste side, J.R. Miller really put together a really good proposal. They came in low, and we were able to leverage that to get a lot more done in up front through our negotiation process and still keep the cost down. They were just a leaner team, I guess is the best way to describe it. And so we had our first initial kickoff meeting with just that team. Today we had our data collection kickoff meeting with the CRC and their accounting folks. On the 9th, we'll have the initial kickoff meeting between CRC, PBS, AKS, and Jeremy Miller. And then shortly after that, we're going to schedule a meeting with WSDOT to really start to talk about this. And I've been keeping WSDOT up to speed on all this while it's unfolding. The contract, which took us forever to finally negotiate, was getting, you know, finalized, and it was executed last Sunday. So, yeah, it's been a real long run, but we really thought this through, and that also enabled us, in tying it all to the plan, enabled us to get the grant funding that Travis spoke about earlier.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Questions, Mark? Go ahead.
Yeah. Is this a solid waste disposal site or a transfer station?
It's the transfer station.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's technically it is a designated disposal site, but not, I guess you'd call it it's a designated facility, and the designated disposal sites are actually Wasco and Finland Use landfills. So we either truck or barge our waste for those facilities.
Okay. Tuesday, I took a television set and two VCRs to that place, and I came down 179th probably and did my return, but I noticed the curb was still there. You hadn't taken out the curb yet, so I noticed that, and it's a whiz right in there, no problems. I was hoping Derek was here. Tell him that right into the recycle place, and I dropped my TV off, and I started taking my VCRs, and he said, oh, can we don't take you can take those over to Earth Friendly Recycling on 113. I thought, well, gosh, I guess I could do that. So I did my rally around the big buildings and got out of there and got to the highway and couldn't turn. We had to turn right and couldn't turn left, so we turned right and went down to. Anyway, I had to go clear to 99th to turn around and come back because I know that's what we're going to do to everybody anyway. And went up to 113th. And these people, really, if you had a big rock, you could throw it from the transfer station to the Earth Friendly Recycling. And so I got there, and I got there at 10:45, and I saw they opened up at 11, so that was no big deal. And as soon as they opened up, they took my two VCRs at no cost, no nothing. It was just really nice. And I told them I was the leader of this band, so they said, oh, want a tour? And I said, sure. And they had one of those nice machines we've been hoping everybody would have around here that takes all the styrofoam in the world and puts it down into a 55-pound billet. The only problem is that our friendly Waste Connections people would rather truck it to Hillsboro. I don't understand that, when they can almost throw it across the median there and hit the... This company's got big bucks into that machine, you know.
The styrofoam's hard to throw.
I know.
I understand, but that's a question
for you folks. Find out why they, we know why Derek. Why does Derek have to? Go ahead.
Is this a question you want to entertain right now, or would you like to continue to move through the updates?
Yeah, we better do that.
I think we can get into the updates. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's it for me.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. This is Melissa.
Hi, I'm Melissa Sutton. I work with Fresno County Public Health. In November, I celebrate 16 years with Clark County Public Health, and I just celebrated 19 years in the public sector, which is I have a 3-year-old who keeps me young because I waited so long to have her. I have a degree in environmental science from Western Washington University. My husband was born and raised. His parents still live in the same house since 1969, so I'm like adopted to Clark County. Do you know this will work?
Were you going to do
that? I don't know.
I didn't. Okay. Spoiled. They're a big unveiling. I don't want an unboxing of Brian
Schmachman. I don't know. Change the studio. Unplug and plug back in.
Searching for signal. Do we have a page to the line? I don't have any really cool pictures this time anyway. She takes the best
picture. Yeah. I know. I really try to be brief this time.
All I can think of is kind of all the other pictures.
Yeah, I have other ones. I just really wanted to, again, we also just closed out our grant cycle with the local solid waste training program. So we did our second quarter report for this year, which you all received. We got 37 complaints in. We resolved 33 of them. We did 13 permitted facility inspections, and our 16 inspections total, 11 permitted facility inspections and 5 exempt. So our exempt facilities are places that understand
for them. Well, she needs 1 minute, so we'll just,
oh, okay.
Just right. Ignore the stuff going on over here.
Sorry.
That's going to burn.
All right, whatever. So exempt facilities are places that accept things like concrete, asphalt, scrap metal, other e-waste. And those under statutory authority, the enforcement comes from Washington State Department of Ecology. So we inspect them as local health department as a liaison, and then we communicate and close
county staff. So this past quarter, I did five inspections with Derek Rocket from Washington State Department of Ecology. He's kind of new in their solid waste program, so just to kind of get him up to speed of what our facilities look like here in Burke County. We have, according to Derek, he said that we have like the greatest uptick of new activity for solid waste facilities, so I don't know if they just keep crossing my desk and then I rope them into these crazy scenarios more than other counties, but this month, this last quarter, paper people, I've been working, we got a tip from City of Vancouver that they were doing some, they were accepting materials, recycling it, so we went out, we got them through the notice of intent process. We just approved them in July, so they're for the Q3, so that'll be technically an update for next time. In the next quarter, earth-friendly recycling, which you mentioned, the reason that CTR could not, or CRC could not work with them and establish a relationship with them, they were unapproved until June 14th of this year. So they have, so Department of Ecology and Public Health granted approval on June 14th. They had some issues with community development, getting their tenant improvement permit. And so they have finally gotten that signed off. Once they got that signed off, they met the terms and conditions of the entity. And I put Eric in touch with Kim to try to get relationships working with Derek so that they can get whatever contracts need to happen so that that can all work. So that's why they don't currently center guys. I think that's in process. Can you or conversations? Or?
No. So we've looked at it from kind of more of a life cycle analysis. So what our understanding of what earth-friendly recycling is doing currently with the block foam is that it's kind of being used. Well, let me explain right now what our block foam currently is doing. So right now it goes over to Agilex and Tiger, and they're able to turn it right back into a styrene monomer, and so that then can be used in any sort of styrene. It's like a full recycling process, right? It's going right back to a similar virgin material that can be utilized in the same way that any other styrene product can be used. And so from a life cycle analysis, that's kind of like what we want, and that's like the ideal for any recycling material. But it's our understanding that what earth-friendly recycling is doing is densifying it and then shipping it overseas to markets over there. So that's not currently what we're kind of aiming for. So, but we have talked to Derek about maybe there's something we can do where we can use their densifier and then send it to Agilex or some other thing like that. But for right now, we think the Tigard facility is a better approach for recycling.
But you said it costs 50% more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The individual I talked to over there says it costs 50% more to send it to Agilex than it does to have him do it.
Not from my conversations with Eric.
No. Okay. Well, of course, that's the other side of the story.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway is that, A, we want to make sure that we're sending our products to a place that is abiding by the same laws and expectations that we are enforcing through various parts of our county. And so we can't send it to some place, or we'll seek to find a balance between or an agreement to send it to some place that is not currently operating legally or how they're supposed to be operating. And secondly, finding that balance between cost and the highest and best use for material. Right? So we want to be responsible with the costs and the cost of our system, but we want to also find the highest and best use for a material that we can. And moving it further up the chain is optimal, but there is that threshold of cost. That 50% statement, I don't know about that one, but at some point along the way, at no additional cost, we decided there was a decision made to be able to do that and to send that. But it's always something that's evolving.
It'd be a good idea to use that densifier, though, because he's got a big investment in that.
Earth-friendly recycling is just a private business.
Okay.
They had one originally, yeah. This is their second iteration of a densifier. One just squeezed it down and it was just a squish like a compactor, and it pooped out smaller versions of the same stuff. This one is actually a chemical process or a chemistry.
Confused
chemistry. Yeah,
there's a 55 pound billet.
We had a similar challenge with them taking batteries, correct?
No,
so, yeah, so we did have to say, until you get your house in order, we want to make sure that we're not, we want to find opportunities, but not at the detriment of our other programs or the health or of our county. So, but they are a private business.
So they are approved to accept electronic waste in addition to the styrofoam, but not the batteries. They can have batteries if they're incidental. Like, so if you turn in a laptop and it comes with batteries, that's incidental, or whatever you turn in has other batteries. Remote control or something. They can take that and they separate the batteries. But if you say, here are my batteries, that actually makes them a moderate risk waste facility, which is a whole separate set of regulations and requires them to be a permitted facility, which would require them to go through CEQA review, which would be a whole big process. So, so that's the Earth Friendly. They are finally approved as of Q2. East County Recycling is a Ratchi pit. They have a reclamation site. It is, for those of you who remember the map of Section 30 from last meeting, they are the adjacent parcels to the south, also in Section 30. The sand and gravel permit issued by the Department of Ecology is for the entire Section 30 is under Ratchi, and Tappany, who has Section 30 materials, just operates under that. So Tappany is in violation of sand and gravel. It falls on Ratchi. The sand and gravel inspector, Jessica, said, hey, Ratchi also has all of these piles of wood debris and asphalt and concrete. Should they also have a notice of intent? And I was like, yes, they should. So we're working with them. Their application, we've sent it out for multi-agency reviews. City of Vancouver had some comments regarding traffic. They are not composting at this location. They are not wanting to be a solid waste handling facility that is a permitted solid waste facility. They want to be exempt. They just want to crush their asphalt and concrete. And then they have some land clearing debris that they're having.
So they're just using it as fill?
They're using it at other... So they take the concrete from one project, bring it to the mine, they grind it up, and then they use it for various projects that Ratchi have. Yeah, through other projects. So, as a product. So, recycling. That we're waiting for them to bring comments regarding some traffic issues that the city has. But again, they also have that kind of carte blanche. You can do anything industrial in this area, so I don't know that the city has a lot of leverage. But they are requesting some additional information before we give approval. Then there's another company called Hagenshaw in Camas. It's in the city limits of Camas. They, too, are, we got a tip that they have asphalt and concrete and brick and rock that they're grinding on site. So I went out there this last quarter with Derek Rockett from Ecology. We've notified them that they need a notice of intent to operate. They sent it early July. There were some discrepancies. We needed some additional information, sent it back out, got those back. I reviewed those today and asked Derek Rockett to advise if it's ready to go out for multi-agency review. So I'm hopeful that tomorrow that can go out for multi-agency review. And then I think that's okay. And then Watley Pit, we were in communication with them to try to find a work around where they can put their utilize the paved surface of Watley Pit to have addition. Right now they just have the decant and the street sweeping materials there, and they want to be able to sort out and pile various stormwater clearing efforts. So it would be similar material to what they already have from the decant.
Can you just very quickly recap just what Watley Pit is and what the initial challenge was, just for some of the newer? Just, I don't know if you can. Sorry.
I don't know if that's quick. So Watley Pit decant facility, after trucks go around the county, suck out the liquid from there. They have a decant facility, so the trucks dewater there, and then the solids are dumped there. They
dry the solids. They were incorporating that historically with their street sweeping materials. And so it was about 80% street sweeping to 20% decant. But they were finding that the, when they tested that material, it, under ecology, they had guidance documents for reuse of street sweeping materials, but it had to meet certain standards when they tested it. And so when they tested it with mixed with the decant, they were finding that it had elevated carcinogenic polyaromatic hydrocarbons.
Wow.
And so they have subsequently stopped that. So they now dispose of the decant material at a landfill as contaminated soil, and the street sweepings they have been processing, screening out, and then testing, and then if it meets the criteria, they are able to utilize it as subgrade fill in non-residential projects for the county. When I was out in February during my regular inspection, I observed a truck that was dumping in a separate portion of the pit some material that did not appear to be in alignment with their with what DNR would allow. And so I called ecology out to DNR. They did some sampling. It tested positive for hydrocarbons, specifically diesel. And so the Watley pit on the lower portion is going to be listed on Department of Ecology's contaminated sites list. And sorry, I'm going to get short.
No, you're right. I should have said yes.
And
that's good. Thank
so
you.
Subsequently, they, the material that they have apparently been dumping there in an unapproved manner, they are wanting to relocate that to the paved portion of the Watley pit so that they can, in the meantime, since they've been caught, they've been trucking all of the material and disposing of it at our transfer station, and it's very costly. So they're working out an agreement with CRC, Derek, and his staff to have a lower rate if they can have everything collected at Watley Pit, loaded into a truck, and taken straight to the landfill. But we're wanting to make sure that before they do that, that A, they have enough space on that paved surface, and that public health and the environment are protected. Runoff, stormwater, we want to make sure that there's a bioswale that's right behind there. So we've done some sampling of the bioswale, which came back with higher levels of contaminant than we hoped. And so we've done subsequent samples at the end of the bioswale. But in talking with our county clean water program, they said that that is how it's designed to work. But in talking with the Department of Ecology, they said that it's like, it can accept non-point source waste runoff, like from the street, but not designed when you have a waste stream to then go there. That's not really how it's supposed to work. So we are in the process of trying to figure out with ecology, we want to make sure before we give even a temporary or a conditional approval that we really have a good plan of how they're going to manage it to really protect public health and the environment. And it may mean more stringent requirements on material they already handle and process, because already the material that they're handling and processing, what's in the bioswale is elevated. So they're obviously not treating that with enough diligence that it's not getting to the soil. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if that was too long or off topic or.
Who owns Watley Pit?
Clark County.
I feel like you knew that.
So Watley Pit, the street sweeping and the decant material comes from City of Vancouver, Clark County, Washout.
No private.
And City of
Companies dump.
No private.
Not during the day, anyways.
The county still owns Watley Pit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just rubbing it in.
Well,
no, I know that was
done. So we are working with Clark County Public Works staff and trying to.
So you go out there with a car full of folks, huh?
I did.
From ecology and
DNR. Yeah, DNR, public works. Mm-hmm. It was, I think that's seven when I got
there. You have lots of protection.
I need it now. I need it now. So all of this has been going on in these conversations. I took Brian is my new supervisor, Brian Schlappen. He's heard all these conversations. We've been talking. I've been showing him maps and diagrams. And he's like, well, how does the water flow? Like, what do you think the direction is? And I said, well, why don't we just go out there and see? And so I took him for a tour. And I was like, so this is the area that I expected. And some truck just came. And they put up a barrier now. It says absolutely no dumping beyond this point. They put up this whole barricade with ecology blocks. I'm like, sweet. They listened. And we're walking around. And this truck totally drives around the barrier, backs up, beep, 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 dumps a load. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
And who owns this pit?
So, Brian and I promptly got on the phone with Public Works, Greg Ganson, and said, hey, there's another truck dumping here. Why? And they met us on site. I think they were there in about 15 minutes. We had a full discussion, and we subsequently tested that material as well. And notified ecology that they continued to dump on the contaminated portion of the property. So that has taken up a very large portion of my last 5 months, a lot of my time and energy. And, but our health officer, Alan Melnick, is aware and involved, and James Cottage, our environmental director. It's been a communication, and Alan Melnick has been talking with Ahmad from Public Works, and we've had discussions with Derek Rocket from Ecology and Solid Waste. I have a call in to Jennifer Riedmeyer at the Point Water Resources Program. We've had conversations with.
We're going to need a bigger van for the next tour.
That's right. We're going to get a bus.
Okay.
So it's a lot. It's a lot.
Thank you. That was, I think, an important piece of the backstory.
How much of your time is governmental waste, like that you were talking about, versus your contractors in there? 50-50?
No. Oh. I mean, really, my work, I am in charge of all food, garbage, nuisance complaints for the entire county. They come to me. I do all of our notice of intent. I do permit reviews. I do plan reviews. I do solid waste permit applications, inquiries, public information requests, phone calls about, hey, I think I might want us, come to me. And it just really varies day to day in what I get. The only municipal, so Watley Pit is a county owned. City of Washougal has their own decamp facility. City of Vancouver has their lagoon biosolid, or their lagoon land application. But for the most part, it's private businesses like Earth Friendly or Hagenshaw or Lachi or Tappany. And I have to sometimes learn a lot on the way about DNR stuff and different avenues and processes. So, yeah.
Well, it looks like they're keeping her busy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So, I'd like to introduce Brian. He has one quick update.
Sorry,
it's
going to
be quicker.
Hey, guys. I'll take it. That's my fault.
All right.
I'm Brian Schlappen. I've been here, she's been working on the 5 months. I've been here 5 months now, so I'm still very much drinking from the fire hose. I did not come from solid waste. I came from nonprofit in the city of Hillsborough. I was born and raised in the city of Hillsborough. Got my master's in public health from George Washington University in D.C. And I'm here today to tell you about a code update we're doing. The Washington Administrative Code 173350 is our solid waste handling standards, and we are required to be in compliance with that by September. It's been a process. We are changing one small section of our code to just our minimum function standards to represent that we are in compliance with that. That will go into effect about August 20th, so we're just barely making a mark on that. It's being caught on compliance with ecology. But more exciting, what I want to tell you guys about is after that, we're going to pursue a full code update. Spend well over a decade to get across all of this in one code. And so that process will take about a year and a half, but we'll have an internal process to update the code, then we'll open up for public. We're also going to bring in a consultant to do the facilitate the public opinion and stakeholder review. And so it'll be quite a robust process we go through. But hopefully you guys will hear more about that in the next 6 months.
How does this meld into our 5-year plan? Does it?
I mean,
I think the plan mentions the need to update the code, right? Or the administrative chapter, maybe?
We have a draft code that was even drafted in 2005 that never got adopted. So this is more, I would say this is probably 20 years past due. Is my guesstimation.
So the plan acknowledges that we needed to do it, but it sounds like the last four plans may have said the same thing. So yeah, I think they may nod to some of the codes, but this is largely a separate process. But
the political climate has really put a damper on trying to bring forth the new code, especially with things like adding minimum garbage service requirements, not mandatory garbage, Mike. So that could be your minimum garbage service requirement as your mantra, but trying to come up forward with that with prior political climate, it just wasn't feasible to bring forth something that would impose any sort of obligation to
so we're going to appreciate the study that's going on in Travis's program, and we're going to try and meld what they learned from that and apply that to the code, as well as whatever we learned from the public opinion and stakeholder review. So like I said, we're going to try and make this as robust as possible and make this work for as many people as possible. But it is quite a process. It will take about a year and a half. Other counties that have done this that started about a year and a half ago, or just wrapping up, and they're getting pretty close to the deadline as well, and it's taking close to 2 years. So we're trying to get it in this biennium for the grant cycle. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, welcome aboard.
Alan, I'm going to keep myself for a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay. Go ahead. We still have
somebody introduced Julie Gilbertson. The last meeting, I kind of mentioned that we had some turnover. Tanya Gray moved on to our finance department. Julie Gilbertson has been with us since early 2016, so 3.5 years. We promoted her now to the solid waste supervisor, and then we now still have two analyst positions in place. So hopefully by the time we meet again, we'll have both of those analysts on board. Julie's going to be presenting the city updates.
Thank you for the warm welcome. And for the SWAC committee members, thank you. I know some of you have seen you in our Recycle U classes or out and about.
Right.
So I guess I can reiterate, my name is Julie Gilbertson. I work for the City of Vancouver in our Solid Waste Group. I work with Rich and wonderful colleagues at Clark County Public Health and in our Solid Waste Enforcement as well. So tonight, I'm just going to keep my updates brief. They're focused largely on highlighting the document in front of you. It's the transition of the city's current yard waste service into organic service. That new service will start September 30th. It's available to residential customers in the city limits. And it is a component that, an element with our new collection contract that was updated, approved by City Council in April this year. So Waste Connections will roll out this new service citywide. We're excited about it, but instead of summarizing the high points, a lot of that's very rich and detail to answer most of the questions, which is who's implicated, what's the rate. The great thing about the service is there's no additional cost to add food scraps into our yard debris carts on the organic service, so we're keeping the cost for that service the same, and increasing options for our residents in Vancouver so they can have 20-gallon, 32, 64, or 96-gallon size carts. In addition, our commercial food waste customers will have lower rates for weekly or every other week yard or food waste service. So hopefully more businesses will participate in the program with a lower rate available to them. But we're working really closely with Waste Connections as they implement this new service, and Clark County as well, as they explore food waste project and this element of collecting food scraps in a cart at the curb for households. And then, let's see here. Unfortunately, Derek isn't here, but I can also answer any questions if you have any. As far as the rollout will go, I mentioned September 30th, so effective October 1, September 30th, that very first week of October, that's when folks will get their carts picked up with food scraps accepted. The trail will then be diverted to dirt cover in Dallasport, and then we'll return it to rich organic compost. So we're really excited about that. Rich kind of pointed out that we are excited to bring on two analysts to our team. We're recruiting for one, planning and technical assistance in solid waste, and finalizing the details of a hire for our neighborhoods and outreach position as well. So I think that's all. Let's have a question.
To my knowledge, we've only been sending one big truckload of food waste up to Dirt Hunger a week, and this would make it much bigger. That'll be busy.
That will change the dynamic of operations and Waste Connections. CRC has worked closely with Clark County Public Health and Solid Waste Enforcement as well as that. And actually, we went out together, and Waste Connections CRC did a demonstration of what that process will look like. Material will still go to West Van, where it will be loaded into trucks, and daily those trucks will go to Dirt Hunger. I'm not currently aware of the frequency. Melissa, I don't know if the current says anything about the frequency at which they're currently loading material and sending it to Dirt Hunger. Is it once a day?
They currently are trying to limit 3 days a week.
Okay, up to 3 days.
So there's already built.
But with the new plan, so right now they have strictly food waste that goes there and the designated area of the transportation floor. Because the volume is going to increase with the addition of yard debris with that food waste being dumped, they've expanded that area. They've raised a wall substantially higher so that they have a higher conveyor wall so they scoop up the material. It will be loaded into a trailer within the facility, so it won't go out of the facility. And then their plan is to haul those daily.
To Dirt Hunger. So three routes in the city of Vancouver currently collect yard debris, and those three routes are mixed with other yard debris collected across Clark County and the region and sent to Dirt Hunger, or excuse me, not Dirt Hunger, Beaver Bark, Gapoose, and maybe some that will house H&H locally. And so the three routes in the city of Vancouver that could now contain food waste will be mixed with the commercial and schools' food waste programs, which will create enough need to send trucks daily.
I've been to Dirt Hunger a couple of times, and you're encouraged to go if you haven't gone. It's very interesting, and they might even give you a bag of compost to relieve and a hat. But they have no problem selling their finished product. The orchards around there, the apples and all the fruit, and they just love Dirt Hunger. They come down there. Some of it's delivered, and most of it's pickup. But they can sell all of this that we can give them.
Yeah, they're committed to creating a high quality product, mm-hmm. and we do want to give them a high quality feedstock. So that's why it's just yard debris and food scraps. It does not include compostable surface ware or compostable plates or other bio surface ware type.
Kind of on that, what kind of outreach is going to happen to inform, you know, there's a lot of confusion of city versus county, especially if you know, oh, my address is Vancouver. Why am I not getting compost into your
city? How do I know about that?
And who's in charge of that outreach?
We're working closely. This service is Waste Connection service of providing to the customer. So the city is working very closely with Waste Connection on the implementation and the outreach, as we are working very closely with Clark County, because we do acknowledge people don't always know where they live.
Yeah.
So the initial rollout of the service is going to be targeting existing customers. So yard debris right now stands in a subscription-based service, but not all residents, roughly 60% of single-family households have it in Vancouver. So targeted outreach directly to the customers that already have the service. If residents find out about it between now and the time we roll out September 30th and they call Waste Connection, they can have that service or have it start on September 30th. And there'll be kind of a two-part outreach. So it's mentioned in here that there'll be postcards directly mailed mid to late August. Waste Connections is building a web page. The link is available here. It's not live yet, so don't go there tonight. But by your next SWAC meeting, it'll be up. And that web page provides information and hopefully will include access to a link so that residents can enter their address. Waste Connections does have, you know, there's a clear delineation between which customers on their end are City of Vancouver, so they can provide that information. Or if you're a frequently asked question, just to soften that message and make sure that residents don't feel like they are at a loss and that there's a service available to them and helping them understand what services are available to them.
How often is this picked up in the city?
In the city of Vancouver, yard debris is currently picked up every other week.
Every other week.
And it maintains an every other week service. We do have a mandatory garbage service, a mandatory minimum in the city of Vancouver limits, and residents have that service level that meets their needs for collection. In terms of organics collections, it will be every other week. There are other communities across the state that do every other week collection. In fact, where I got most of my solid waste experience to start out was the city of Olympia. And that's where we
have
every other week service as well for your
organics
collection.
Just say if I would do the little bucket thing and play that game too.
So a little kitchen pail will be provided with the service. So customers that are signed up at the initial implementation of organic service will receive a kitchen pail. Inside the kitchen pail will be two examples of approved compostable bags that they can use. We're going to encourage using bags, which is a means of a tool to use if their household needs it. As well as a brochure, like a guide of how to use this service, and a decal that they can put on their carts because they're maintaining their existing teal yard debris carts. If they're an existing yard debris customer, if they're going to be a new organics customer, we're going to outrun that they'll have a new organics cart, and it will have that handy logo that's pictured across the hot stamp on the side of the cart that calls it out, and then broad is organic. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Good fit. Okay. Waste Connections, City of Vancouver, that was her. Congratulations. Waste Connections, no Derek. I'll bring on a couple of the. Go ahead,
Derek.
No,
I was just going to say, I got a picture of Derek. We apologize
because
he's not feeling very well.
Oh, that's no fun to do in the middle of summer. Okay, a couple of things. Again, I admonish all of us to go to a lot of these things and see it, because these people are putting in a lot of hard work, especially that and you could volunteer for some of these things. Like last Saturday, I went out to the Frenchman's Bar and helped pick up litter and watch the ladies play volleyball. Or sand ball, or whatever it is. And also go to the green business meetings. Sometimes our people here set up tours to like Finley Butte or this dirt hugger. It's really neat to see these things that we talk about in action. And the garden, like Travis brought out, there's all kinds of stuff to do in that. Historic garden that's there, and I went through. They had a day that they told you about the history, and it's very interesting. It used to be the poor farm for Clark County, and if you haven't been there, the people there are very nice and knowledgeable, and those expert gardeners know more than you ever would think about. Haven't talked about composting much, but they're really into that. Let's see, anything else that I can think of? Nope, that's all I have. Anybody, for the good of the party, anything brought up?
We got one item on the agenda.
Okay, here we go again. That's all right, I bought one of those Echoes and I can't get mine to work.
I hope not to be disrespectful, but I need to leave in about 5 minutes.
Okay. That's amazing.
Absolutely. And some ladies' handball to go.
That was good. Took me a lot longer to clean up that end of the area. So. did the parking lot, so it was fun. Walk my kids up the steps.
I would normally watch this if I can't get
it. Clean it, like a Fitbit or a phone.
So,
pretty
immediate, but. Do you want me to provide? Do you want to? Well, shut up.
Where's your mug?
I was gifted a coffee mug, but just stopped talking. So.
I think I sent this out to everybody, though, right? Yeah. We all got this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big message I just wanted to share was that for both the multifamily and the single family studies that we did, it did show a decrease in the amount of contamination going into the cart, so it's really exciting. And there was, however, a small increase in the amount of good recyclables ending up in the residue. Which, you know, I would really just contribute to Waste Connections trying to do an even better job of cleaning the streams. So there's kind of these, you know, sacrificial recyclables that just don't make it through. But the good news is that contamination did go down. I know it's kind of hard to maybe see that in this study. I think there's a graph in here on one of the pages that outlines it pretty well. But for single family, we're now looking at, we were at 20.5% last year, or in 2018, and now we're at 16%. And then for multifamily, we're at 25.3, and now we're at 19.3. So, yeah, good news. And top contaminants were pretty consistent, mainly non-recyclable papers of different types. A lot of contaminated paper or waxy paper or other, you know, paper items, as well as really tiny materials and non-recyclable plastics. But this is all by weight, not by volume. So the thing to keep in mind is that plastic bags don't weigh very much, but they do create a lot of volume and a lot of issue in our system. Yes, let me know if you have any questions about the study. And I'll just send you my graphs from this presentation.
Cool. I think at some point, I think the original idea was we'd like to see from, we're going through this cart tagging the city and the county each have a dedicated Waste Connections person that are, I think, and that was in Derek's, one of Derek's updates is that they've staffed those positions up, recycling advocates, so Waste Connections staff that will be going out and actually providing at the curb education based on what types of contamination are showing up in people's individual recycling bins. Josie is their outreach person, and Ellen works in schools, but Josie, and then actually one of our AmeriCorps actually got hired on as one of these advocates. But they will be, you know, their job is to go out and then provide us, is to look around and just be in front of the truck and help the drivers identify where there's contamination, and then provide back data for both of our jurisdictions to kind of assess where things are going on, what's going on, and how we can kind of tweak our program to, you know, be more targeted. As well as we're exploring through an additional grant to the Department of Ecology the idea of expanding some subsequent outreach, which is, you know, something we just talked about this week. But how do we use that data to continue to communicate with our residents around their successes and areas to go? So, but it'd be interesting to kind of hear, maybe future or through this conversation, is what types of things, as people that are motivated enough to be on SWAC, are there things in here that sit out as a surprise, or are there things that sit on here as, you know, still a confusing conversation topic that you really thought you had a grasp on, and wait a second, I didn't think that was contamination. This is a good litmus test for us to try out what things popped up for people. So I think, you know, ask those things that you would do this.
Would there be a problem releasing this to the press? Why don't we tell people that they're doing better?
I think that is part of our larger communication strategy. I think we need to... I don't think just releasing the whole thing is appealing.
No. Nobody will want to read all that.
We need to be strategic.
So let's tell people that they're doing better, you know?
Yeah. I think so. We want to be strategic. We want to find the right evidence to share this story. And we want to find the right parts of the story to share so that we can continue to move that needle down as far as contamination goes and really what's the biggest impact to the system So we want to use the groups of the use our advisory committees and you know this group and our steering committee to kind of say, hey, what are some things that stood out to this group here? Because that's if it's a surprise to this group, there's a pretty good chance it's a surprise to a majority of our public, and it's something worth prioritizing. So
that would be nice to have it on paper and pictures, especially the weekly from Battleground seems to publish, you know, good ecology stuff all the time. That's a good old reflector.
What?
A good old reflector.
Good old reflector.
Yeah. Big.
I was in that once, Alan.
Yeah.
Front page.
So was I.
Good. I thought it was under the police report.
I just said I was in there on the front page once, but I didn't say where else I've been in the reflector.
No more parking or speeding tickets.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't got any speeding tickets on county time since the last time. Okay.
Well, if there's anything else for the good of the party, I'd like to thank all you folks for coming.
Thank you.
And, we'll meet again in November 1st. November 1st, Thursday, November?
7th.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.